Sound like Catherine Kuhlman, don't it? Some of y'all don't know who I'm talking about. Great woman of God. God is good, amen? And his mercy endureth forever. You might say, why do you keep saying that? Why not? I'm telling you a scripture. Y'all remember that whenever David wanted to build the temple for God, wanted to build God a house because he loved him. And God told him, said, you can't build it because you've been a man of blood. He said, but I'm going to let your son Solomon build it. So when Solomon built the temple for the Lord, the house for God to dwell in, when they got it all finished and they filled it with all the instruments and the instrument players and the priests and all that, they had sanctified themselves and got all the stuff in there. They begin to play on the instruments and they begin to sing, for the Lord is good. Come on, y'all say it. For the Lord is good and his mercy endureth forever. The Bible says when they sung that and they played that, that the glory of the Lord filled the house. And where it says the glory of the Lord, the Amplified Bible says God's presence. There's nothing greater that God could honor us with than himself. Because he said, I am. Whatever you need, I am, he said. You need your light bill paid? He is. Why? Because he is, I am. You need your body healed? He says, I am. He said, I am the Lord thy God that healeth thee. He's never changed, right? Malachi 3, he told him, he said, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. He said, because I am the Lord thy God and I do not change. I am, Jesus said, I am the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. We may have changed the word. Y'all come on. We may have watered it down to be sinner, seeker friendly. Woo! But he never changes. He's the same. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Say, what are you doing? Well, just messing around. Feels pretty good to me. Feels good to me in the Holy Ghost, Paul said. Right? I don't know about y'all, but feels good to me in the Holy Ghost this morning. The Bible says wherever the Spirit of the Lord, there's freedom, there's liberty. From what? Anything and everything that would bind you. So what do we need? The Spirit of the Lord in this house. And he's here. How do I know? Well, if you've been born again, according to Scripture, he came in you. But how many know sometimes you need to stir him up, let him out? The Bible says God inhabits the praises of his people. What's that mean? He comes and he manifests himself. See, God is everywhere. There's nowhere that God is not. But God's not in manifestation and revelation everywhere. What does that mean? It means he may be everywhere, but he's not revealing himself, showing himself everywhere. But he says if we keep his commandments, if we love him and we keep his commandments, right, that he'll come and he'll show himself. He'll, according to John, right, what is that, 15, 16, somewhere around in there, 14? He said, I'll come and I'll reveal myself to you. Glory to God. Oh, he said, those that honor me, I will honor. We've honored him, haven't we? Hallelujah. Ooh, praise the Lord. Glory to God. And everybody in the house said, praise the Lord. Oh, that feels good. Let's just say it again. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's just lift our hands and praise him this morning. Oh, Lord, we give you glory, honor, and praise, and thanksgiving, Father. Thank you, God, that you love us, Lord. Oh, Lord, because your mercy endureth forever, God, we're not consumed. Oh, God, we give you glory. Hallelujah. I didn't say stop. Just keep on. Just keep on. If he inhabits the praises of his people, then guess what? When we praise him, he'll come and he'll reveal and he'll manifest himself to us to where nobody's got to teach you nothing. The Bible says it is the anointing in you that teaches you, right? The Holy Ghost. Nobody's got to lay hands on you. Nobody's got to touch you. Nobody's got to pray for you. Why? I'm not the healer. I'm not the toucher. I'm not the teacher. Hallelujah, but he is. Oh, glory to God. Glory and honor and praise and thanksgiving be unto our God. Oh, Lord, we just love you this morning, God. Oh, Father, because you first loved us, God. Thank you, Father. Where would we be, oh, God, when we think about it, had it not been for Jesus? Oh, Lord, we love you and we praise you and we give you thanksgiving this morning. Thank you, Lord, that you created a house, Father, for us to come, Lord, in fellowship with you and with one another, Lord. And, Father, we believe to see your glory, God, this morning, God. In this house, Father, manifested, God, your goodness, God, your majesty, Lord, your splendor, Father, all that you are, God. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, we just give you praise and thanksgiving and honor this morning, Lord, for there is none like you, God. Oh, Lord, you're so good. And your mercy endureth forever and ever and ever and ever. Lord, you said your mercies, Lord, they're new every morning, God. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. You said in Psalm 103, God, of your word, Lord, you said you have forgiven all of our iniquities, God. You've healed all of our diseases, Father. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Whew. I don't know about y'all, but that feels good. Your mind will say, how stupid is that? Y'all heard the story before, most of you have anyway. We was at Faith Restoration one time, Scotty. I don't remember why he was telling the story, but during praise and worship, we always closed our eyes. We stood, we lifted our hands, we closed our eyes. Why? Because I'm trying to forget about you. You should forget about me, because you don't matter. I don't matter. The person sitting next to you don't matter. But anyway, after praise and worship, they quit singing and everything, you know. Scotty opened up his eyes, and y'all remember he said, I was looking through bowls of water. It was because of the tears. Where had he been? Every need is met there. Nothing matters. There's no time. There's no space. There's only him. And he's all that matters, and he's all that you want, and he's all that you care about. Amen? Glory to God. Thank you, Father, for coming. Hallelujah. I don't know if y'all can sense him or not. And sometimes people, they don't know that it's him. But when you have the peace, that's him. Ain't nobody and ain't nothing can give you that. When you have the joy of the Lord, when it seems like you're going through hell in the hallway, so to speak, but on the inside you have the joy of the Lord and the peace of God, that best I can say, a welcoming spirit. It's just like, ah, that's him. Woo. Title this morning, not that I can think of. I've never had a message quite like this one. Title this morning, oh yeah, and y'all know y'all was supposed to have Monty, but I'm your treat today. Hallelujah. Title this morning is God Loves Me. Y'all should have jumped up and down. That the God that created everything that you see, when you look out there, I was coming back, I come and turned the air on this morning about 6 o'clock. I was going back home and I just looked up at the sky and it was like ripples of clouds and they was pink, you know, because the sunlight gets behind them. And when I was looking at that, I just said, God, it's so beautiful. Even the heavens, the Bible says, declares your glory, God, your goodness, Lord. And to think that the God that created everything that we see and everything we don't see, there's so much we don't see and so much we don't know. I mean, even light. God said, light be, and it's still expanding. It's still growing. It's still developing. When you look at the stars and the trees and the flowers, I don't know how many different kinds of flowers. The glory of God is in every bit of that, even in its fallen state. And to think he loves you. And he loves me. What an awesome God that he is. And what a wonderful thing that he would love and that he would care for us. Us! The Bible says when God made man, He told Jesus, which was the Word at the time or whatever. He wasn't Jesus till he was born here, but he was the Word. He was with God, the Bible says over in John. Anyway, in the Holy Ghost, he said, let us make man in our image, after our own likeness. And the Bible says when he made man, the angels looked at man and said, what is man? What is this thing, God? But God said, it's my family. It's my sons and it's my daughters and it's the ones that I love, that I clothe them with myself. See, a lot of people, they like to quote that scripture over there that says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we did. Because Adam and Eve sinned and all mankind, scientifically proven, all mankind was inside of Adam. Why? Because women don't have seed. So therefore, every human being was inside Adam. Therefore, when Adam sinned, all mankind sinned. But what they don't go on and finish is, Jesus came to give us back the glory. Yeah, we all sinned. But Jesus came and he gave us back the glory. All that would accept that sacrifice that God himself made. Woo, hallelujah. I don't know where I want to go with all this. Let me get my paper here. I'll be snotting all over Travis's microphone and then he won't be singing. If he gets up here and y'all see him with the little black thing or gray thing on it, the germs got to him. Woo, glory. Let's just go back. Let's just talk for a minute. Let's just go back. When God created Adam and Eve, he crowned them with himself, clothed them with himself. They're naked and they don't even know it, but they're not naked. Why? They're clothed with the goodness, the glory, the splendor, the majesty of God himself. You know, when I think about it, I can't prove this, but I doubt you can prove it's not so. But I believe whenever God created us, I don't even know if you could be cut. There was no death, Johnny. Even in the fallen state that man is, we still have healing in our bodies. That much residue left over after sin. You might say, well, I don't believe in healing. Well, have you ever cut yourself? Well, yeah, well, are you okay now? Well, yeah, I thought you didn't believe in it. I get some of them, don't it? Healing's not been done away with. It's been since from the beginning. And all it is, when you have gifts of healing and operation or God touches you or whatever, that healing that's in you is speeded up. It can be speeded up 5 times, 10 times. You can get an absolute miracle. Bam! Why? Because God's good and he loves us. So I don't even know. Well, I know a tree couldn't even scratch you because there was no thorns. There was no briars. When God created the earth, there was nothing that would harm man whatsoever. My mind can't even imagine, Sandy, the paradise that this place must have been. Briars, thorns, thistles, toy, all that stuff came in because of Adam and Eve's fall. Because they sinned and gave their power and authority and right over to Satan himself. Oh, but Jesus has come so we could have it all back. Not lacking anything, to everything that was in there be fulfilled and restored to its fullness. Right? The Bible says we're heirs and joint heirs with Christ, the Anointed One and his anointing. Same thing. Everything that he has, we have. Everything that he is, we are. The Bible talks about, and I'm not going to read all of this here, but in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 21, it talks about man's fall. And like I said, I'm not going to, because it's a lot of scripture, and I don't have a lot of time. But anyway, it talks about man's fall. And it talks about how that because of one man's sin, nothing happened when Eve sinned. Why? Adam's the head. Adam was the one that was first told. Adam was the one responsible for everything that happened in that garden and upon the entire earth. But once he ate, once he disobeyed God, and God gave him everything. Everything. But here comes the devil and all he does. Power of suggestion. It ain't changed. It's still the same thing. He can't make you do nothing. Listen, there's even lost people don't murder nobody. There's lost people don't rob banks. He can't make us do anything. But he does have the power of suggestion. That's exactly what he did to Adam and Eve. He told them, did God say? God said eat of anything, right? But not this one. Did God really say that? That's the same thing he says to us today. Does God really love you, Sandy? Now, you know if he did, you would have had that car wreck. Yo, come on. Those preachers preach this stuff behind the pulpit. Anyway, they sinned, and they lost the glory. And all of it was given over to the devil. But the Bible says in Romans 5, because of one man's sin, all mankind sinned. But he says, through one man's obedience, and we know it to be Jesus Christ, through one man's obedience, all are brought back into right standing with God. Right? So what's that mean? It means Adam and Eve sinned. All of us was on the inside of Adam. Therefore, God so loved the world that he did what? He gave us Jesus. Do you realize God could have said, forget it. I'm starting over. Do you ever think about that? God could have said, y'all don't want me? Y'all don't want to listen to me? I've poured out my goodness to you, and you don't forget it. I made Adam and Eve, but now I'll make Steve and Barbara. Y'all not saying nothing. Could he done it? Nothing's impossible with God, right? He can do anything he chooses to do. He could have started over on Mars and made it like Earth. But because God so loved you, Samantha, he said, no, I see her. And I'm not going to do it. Let's look at John. Probably everybody in here could quote this. But let's look at John 3. Might see some stuff in this we never saw before. Listen, when you read something in your life, or you hear something read or preached or something like, yeah, I've been hearing that, knowing that scripture since 1948, you don't really know it. You know it in your head, but it is not a revelation in your heart. Because when it becomes a revelation in your heart, whoo, you're excited. It's good to you. You can see more and more and more in it. That makes me think of Kenneth Hagin. God told Jesus appeared to him and told him something. I can't remember now what it was. And he told him, he said, Lord, if there's anything like that in the Bible, now I just don't know it, and I've read the whole Bible. He said, and the Lord smiled graciously and said, son, there's a lot in there that you don't know. He said, well, you're going to have to give me scripture for it. He said, I'll do you better than that. And he gave him four. You're talking to the author of the book, not just the reader and interpreter with your own mind of it. So how many believes there's more in this word than we could, than what we know, and we could see more in it than we've ever saw before? So we believe in God for that this morning, right? John 3, and I'm going to start in verse 14, I think. I'm going to read it in the Amplified. And this is just for time's sake. I don't have time to read this whole thing. It says, and just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert on a pole, so it is necessary that the Son of Man, talking about Jesus, be lifted up on the cross, in order that everyone who believes in him, who cleaves to him, trusts him, and relies on him, may not perish, but have eternal life and actually live forever. For God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that he even gave up his only begotten unique Son, so that whoever believes in, trusts in, clings to, relies on him, shall not perish, come to destruction, be lost, but have eternal, everlasting life. For God did not send the Son into the world in order to judge, reject, to condemn, to pass sentence on the world. Sentence has already been passed on the world, right? He says, but that the world might find salvation and be made safe and sound through him. Did he have to do it? No. Why'd he do it? Bible says, because he so loved us, right? It says, he who believes in him, who clings to, trusts him, relies on him, is not judged. He who trusts in him never comes up for judgment. For him there is no rejection, no condemnation. He incurs no damnation. But he who does not believe, cleave to, rely on, trust in him, is judged already. He has already been convicted and has already received his sentence because he has not believed in and trusted in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He is condemned for refusing to let his trust rest in Christ's name. It says, the basis of the judgment indictment, the test by which men are judged, the ground for the sentence lies in this. The light has come into the world, and people have loved the darkness rather than and more than the light, for their works, their deeds were evil. So nobody's going to hell because of murder. Y'all quiet. Nobody's going to hell because of adultery. Nobody's going to hell for robbing a bank. Why are they going if they go? The rejection of Jesus. Because see, because Adam and Eve sinned, God so loved us. From the foundation of the world, he had this problem solved. Right? The Bible says that Jesus was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Why? Because God so loved us. And all we have to do is humble ourselves and repent. God, I'm sorry I've sinned. I'm a sinner. But Lord, I believe that you love me and that you sent your Son, Lord, to pay the price that I couldn't pay. That's it. Receive that. Bam. You are now born again in the kingdom of God. You are his sheep. And the Bible says now you can hear his voice. Now you can have a relationship with him. See, God's not looking to do away with me and you. If he was, all he had to do was nothing. But because he so loved us, he did everything. Now, when you think about it with me, excuse me, Jesus, sinless, spotless, never disobeyed, did everything he heard the Father say, he said it. Everything he saw the Father do, he done it. Look at John. I think it's 17 I want to see here. Yeah, John 17 right quick, since we're here in John. He never messed up. He never failed. He never sinned. Y'all believe that, don't you? If you're born again, you had to. And all of that. And God gave him for you. God, his only Son, never did anything wrong. He gave him for me. When I think about that, Johnny, it's hard for me to believe John 17 here. Let's read it. I think I want this in the Amplified. Yeah. Verse 20, Jesus had prayed. He said, neither for these alone do I pray. It is not for their sake only, talking about the disciples standing there, that I make this request. He said, but also for all of those, me and you, who will ever come to believe in, trust in, cling to, rely on me through their word and teaching, that they may all be one just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, so that the world may believe and be convinced that you have sent me. I have given to them the glory and honor which you have given me, that they may be one even as we are one, I in them and you in me, in order that they may become one and be perfectly united, that the world may know and definitely recognize that you sent me and that you have loved them even as you have loved me. Sandy, that blows my mind. I'm still praying and saying, God, help me. Help me, Lord, to believe this. That you love me, God, just like you love Jesus. My, I know all my failures, Sandy. I know all my shortcomings. I know all the times of my bad thoughts and words out of my mouth and wrong actions and different things. And the thing about God knows them all too, Johnny. And he still loves me. Not any less than what he loves Jesus. Now, if God loved, and the Bible says he did it while we were yet sinners. We wasn't giving him no warm and fuzzies. We was in the bars or doing whatever we was doing. Right? Which we wasn't born yet at the time. But he knew all of it. There's nothing he doesn't know about. And he did all of this while we was yet sinners. Going to be rejecting him, denying him, all of that. He loved us so much that he did it. That's amazing to me. Now, if God loved you enough to give the best that he had, he didn't have anything else that he could have given. Do you realize the Bible says God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself? That God himself loved you so much, he put himself in Jesus and was whipped and beat and crucified for you. There's no other religion on the planet that their God did that for them. Not a one. They all want you to die for them. Y'all not saying nothing. But God said, I love you. I'm going to die for you. So he did. See, God uses his power, and he is all power, to display and demonstrate and bestow his love on us. What's a miracle? God displaying his power to show you his love? Or God using his power to bestow his love on you? Why would God heal you? Because he loves us. Sandy, can you imagine? I was thinking about my grandkids this morning. There's nothing I wouldn't do for them two kids. Not a thing. God loves me even more than that. God loves you even more than that. Because see, we have a real enemy. And the Bible says he's out to kill, to steal, and to destroy you. He hates your guts. Because God loves you. But did you know the Bible says this thing's a fixed fight? Bible says fight the good fight of faith. As long as you keep him in that arena of God loves you. Oh, he's already whooped. Well, the Bible says he's made us more than, not just conquerors. But that means I'm going to whoop your tail and I'm going to make you eat it. And everybody else I come across, I'm going to tell them about. More than conquerors. The Bible says he's already given us the victory, right? Glory to God. That's awesome. Why? Because he loves us. It's kind of like this is my ball and my bat and my daddy's out here and my daddy's bigger than your daddy. And my daddy will whoop your daddy. Aiden, some little boy shoved him down in the mulch at school over a girl. The little boy thought that this girl he liked had a crush on Aiden because she was talking to Aiden. So he just comes along and shoves Aiden down in the mulch. Well, anyway, he was telling us about it, you know, and I said, just go punch him. And I said, no, I'm kidding now. Not really. Just kidding. We don't do that. We'll pray for him, you know, and all that. Yes. Yes. And then he goes and tells us, Pawpaw. Yeah, to him, ain't nobody like Pawpaw. Now, he'd be at the store and he'd tell the cashier, my Pawpaw's rich. Anyway, he told his Pawpaw about it. And then he asked him, he said, Pawpaw, can I tell him that if he does that again, you're going to come to the school? This guy said, well, I don't know about all that. You know, why am I saying that? Our God If you mess with us, you've had a bad day. Why? Because he loves us. And he's given us the name that is above every name. You should have not have messed with me, sickness. You should have not have come against me, poverty. Why? Because my Lord took upon himself poverty that I might be made rich. I am made rich just as much as I've been made righteous by the blood. Too bad a lot of the church think that's not right. Is it scripture or not? What is that? 1 Corinthians 8:7-8 I'm thinking about over there? That it says that? That Jesus took upon himself. Now we know in Corinthians it says Jesus took upon himself sin. Right? He put it on him. God, do you realize it pleased God to do this? Because he loved you so much? That God, Jesus, took upon himself sin. Why? So you can be made right with God. Jesus took upon himself poverty, lack. Why? So you can be made rich. Just as much as you can be made righteous. Why? God needs us to have money. There is absolutely nothing wrong with money except the love of it. Now say, you can't serve two masters. You either going to serve God and use money, or you going to serve money. Right? Ain't that what the Bible says? So we love our God and we use the money. And the Bible says he gives us all things richly to enjoy. I thought about it earlier, or last night I was thinking about it. You know, our ladies' meet's going to be at the Playhouse today. And I thought of people's asking me, you know, you use this much, you know, y'all probably come up here all the time. And I'm like, nah, I never come up here. They're like, God, come up here all the time? You don't get it. That wasn't built for me. That was given to bless people and to help me. Why? Because God gives us all things richly to enjoy. He knew we would enjoy it. Right? So we're going to go enjoy it. But anyway, don't get me off of a message here. And that's because he loves us. But he says there that he loves us just like he loves Jesus. Lord, help us. Give us a revelation in our spirits and not in our heads. Because see, when we get a revelation of that in our spirit, your light bill's nothing. Nothing. I mean, that God gave us Jesus, his only begotten Son, the best that heaven had to offer for us, and we got a problem about him paying our light bill? We got a problem about believing him for a car? Let's look over here right quick. Let's see here. It's I think it's 1 John 4 here. I got that King James. That's 3. That's why it didn't look right. Just for time's sake, we're going to start reading in verse 9. It says, and this was manifested, or we would say revealed, what? The love of God toward us. Because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is what? Perfected or matured in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And we have known. We got to get this. We got to know it. We have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love. 1 John 4:8 says God is love. It says, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect. The word perfect there means brought to maturity or completion. That we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. Oh, glory to God. I said something. There is no fear in the love of God. None. Let's read on here what it says before I get started again. There is no fear in love, but perfect, mature, brought to completion, love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect or brought to maturity in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, is a liar, for he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And then he goes on and says, this is our commandment. But notice what he says there. The love of God in you that's being brought to maturity, it's being perfected, cast out all fear. If you have absolutely no fear at all, what's that leave? Only faith. Right? They're the opposite of one another. Okay, you go back to the garden. When Adam and Eve sinned, lost the glory, the first thing that they done, fear came in. Because, see, before that, God walked and talked with them in the cool of the day, the Bible says. Well, here comes God. He's walking and wanting to talk with them again. And what do? They run and they hide. Do you understand? This is one of the reasons why the devil wants you to sin. Because he can't let you operate in faith. He can't let that love of God on the inside of you, you knowing how much God loves you, come to full maturity, because his game's over. So God, give us a revelation, Father, of how much you love us. It do you good. I have started just sitting around, walking around, saying, thank you, Lord, you love me. Thank you, Lord, you love me. You know, and the devil say, you're so arrogant. No, it's not. It's humble. I should think in line with what the Bible says about me, right? And I humble myself, knowing I'm nothing. There's nothing in me that God should love me. God loves me just because he's love. And therefore, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13, love cannot fail. What's that mean? God cannot fail. 1 John 4:8, God is love. This one here, we just read it, God is love, right? And if God is love, and love cannot fail, and if he's for you, you cannot fail. Woo! The devil's had a bad day when you really know this. Why? You'll take him up, cast him out, turn him every which way but loose, everywhere you find him. But see, he knows it. That's why I tell you, you're such a worm. You're so stupid, Sandy. You know everything you do bad. You know you really don't love people. He don't tell you that stuff? See, I used to have this tape. I don't know why, other than the devil's just the devil. That I was just the worst sinner ever. Even after I got saved, everybody else is holy. And this is how bad it was. When I was going to be baptized at Faith Restoration, we was going to be baptized, me and Scotty and some others. I'm telling you, that whole week, I could see myself going down in the water and the water catching on fire. God is my witness because of the badness. That tape just played over and over and over in my head. Do you understand? I can't have faith, Johnny, when I'm so condemned. And the thing about it is, there's no reason I should be condemned. Jesus already justified me. He already made me right with God. And the Bible says if I do sin, if I do mess up, I have an advocate, Jesus Christ, with the Father. If I'll repent, he's faithful to cleanse me, forgive me, cleanse me from all sin and unrighteousness, the Bible says. See, in order for us to become that glorious church that the Bible talks about, we must believe this and walk in it to its fullness. And the gates of hell cannot prevail against a church like that. Why? God cannot fail. I got about 4 minutes. Let's look at this one here before we close. Romans 8. Hallelujah. Oh, don't you just love him this morning? Yes, we do, because he loved us first. Even if you don't want to, how can you not love somebody that's good to you? That every time you turn around, they're doing something good to you, being nice to you, giving you something. How can you not love them? I mean, even if you don't want to begin with, over a period of time, it just wears you down and changes you, don't it? Stop trying to hold on to him and let him hold you. But here in Romans 8, for time's sake, I'm going to start reading in I would like to read this backwards. That's weird, ain't it? Let's start in 28. One of Scotty's favorite scriptures. Should be all of our favorite scriptures, and we should know this, right? You know, sometimes people say, well, if God's such a good God and has such a good plan, why does bad things happen? We live in a fallen, curse-filled world. There's a real devil, and there's so much we don't know. But we're supposed to know this, right? Verse 28, it says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. That's you, ain't it? For whom he did foreknow, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Thank you, Lord, when you come, we look just like you, Jesus. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. Thank you, Lord. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? Hallelujah is what we say. If God be for us, who can be against us? Right? Let me read this in the Amplified here, verse 30. It says, and those whom he thus foreordained he also called, and those whom he called he also justified, acquitted, made righteous, putting them into right standing with himself. He did it, didn't he? Thank you, Lord. And those whom he justified he also glorified. That word glorified means raising them to a heavenly dignity and condition or state of being. The devil's under our feet. Hallelujah. What then shall we say to all this? If God is for us, who can be against us? Who can be our foe if God is on our side? Nobody. Right? He who did not withhold or spare even his own son, but he gave him up for us all, will he not also with him freely and graciously give us all other things? Thank you, Lord. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect when it is God who justifies, that is, who puts us in right relation to himself? Who shall come forward and accuse or impeach those whom God has chosen? Will God? Absolutely not. The Bible says the devil is the accuser of the brethren, Sandy. Don't you listen to nothing he says. That's how you know his voice. I tell you right now, Johnny, if Samantha really loved you, who's that sound like? You better know that voice. Let me tell you something. When you know God's voice, it will help you discern every other voice. Let's go on here. I got to stop. I got a minute here. So if God's the one that justifies us, he ain't going to condemn us, is he? So if you ever feel condemned, it's not God. You can condemn you. The devil can condemn you, but God never will. 14, who is there to condemn us? Will Christ Jesus, the Messiah who died, or rather who was raised from the dead? We know he would not. Who is at the right hand of God, actually pleading as he intercedes for us? Thank you, Lord. Who shall ever separate us from Christ's love? Shall suffering and affliction and tribulation, or calamity and distress, or persecution, or hunger, or destitution, or peril or sword? Even as it is written, for thy sake we are put to death all the day long. We are regarded and counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet amid all these things, we are what? More than conquerors. We're going to whoop your tail and your mama too. Yet amid all these things, we are more than conquerors and gain a surpassing victory through him who loved us. For I am persuaded. Are you persuaded this morning? Yes, we are, Lord. Thank you. Beyond all doubt, excuse me, I'm sure that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor things impending and threatening nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's nothing that can make him not love us. Absolutely nothing. And during all these things, because we know that, Johnny, when we go through these things, we know, God, you love me. It don't matter what it looks like, what it sounds like, what people tell me, what the devil tell me. You love me, God. And if you love me, therefore, I got to come out on top. Every time I got to come out on top. I got to stop because it's got to be sucking up my time there. Tell me I can't have as much time as I get. Just when I'm getting started. Anyway, does anybody have anything they'd like to share or comment or anything before we close quickly?